All right, nominating process is really moving along now. Had our little debate in Nevada, upcoming Nevada primary, South Carolina primary immediately thereafter, a few days thereafter, or a week after, and then 3 days after that, we got Super Tuesday, right? Or 4 days after that primary, 3 days after. Anyway, big doings. Big doings. California and Texas coming up on Super Tuesday. That's, I mean, you know, that's a pretty good sized chunk of the delegates, my friends. So we've had our debate. Oh my goodness. What's that somebody said? Mike Bloomberg make the mistake of coming to a he brought a wallet to a knife fight. Holy crap. Bloomberg, get the fuck out. Why were you even on that stage, Mr. Bloomberg? I mean, seriously, man. But yeah, I think I'm going to try and give my opinion, not just of the debate, because, you know, that was just a... That was like a gang jumping in, man. Everybody put their boots to Bloomberg tonight. It's kind of like when you have that nerd kid that keeps bugging you that wants to play and you don't let him play forever and you finally decide you're going to let him play. You're going to kick his ass so bad that he doesn't ask you to play again. That's what happened to Bloomberg tonight. They're like, okay, punk, you want to play? Yeah, go ahead, throw him the ball. That's what happened to Bloomberg tonight. If you don't recognize that from your childhood, Bloomy, then your dad wasn't as poor as you're letting on. Because I guarantee they did that to your fucking annoying ass when you were a kid. So as you can see, we're starting with Bloomberg. And like I started to say, I don't understand what the fuck he was even doing there. I mean, did he miss the bus to the Republican primary? Because that's where his fucking ass belongs. All of his ads are talking about he's the only Democrat to ever run a business. Blah, 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 blah. I run a business. I've done this. I've thrown money here and I've thrown money there. We're not electing a CEO here. We're electing a president. And we don't need somebody to run a business. We need somebody to take care of the country. Not make the country profitable, although that would be a good thing if it happens. But I'm guessing most governments don't run in the profit margins. And so to expect us to have a CEO decide that, you know, that's the best thing we need for a country? Good Lord. That's like taking a very efficient dog catcher and asking him to run the gynecology clinic because he's just so damn good at running the dog catching thing that managing the ins and outs and the whatnot of the gynecology clinic should be easy. His talents, you know, he'll just learn on the fly. It doesn't work that way, man. We're not looking for a CEO. We're looking for a fucking president. A leader of the people. So. But why is, I mean, honestly, you were a Republican governor. And, yeah, I don't know. Scrooge McDuck again comes to mind. But, yeah, I just, wow, did they tear your ass apart up there, Bloomberg. I mean, again, I'm not, you know, before we even get into how they tore you apart, you don't belong there. Let's just, you know, let me put that in there first. You bought your way in late. You shouldn't be there. Biden shouldn't be there either for the same reason because he got in late. He's got other reasons, but I'll get to Biden. Right now, I'm with you, Mikey. Get the fuck out, Mikey. You're done. You're useless. Okay? You've got a nasal, thin, whiny voice. You got all those NDAs that you're not going to release. Oh, Elizabeth Warren owned your ass. You can't... Fuck beating Trump. You won't be able to be. If everybody else dropped out, Elizabeth Warren would whoop your ass, Mr. Bloomberg. If everybody else were to drop out of the race, Elizabeth Warren would be wearing what's left of your hair as a charm bracelet somewhere. Maybe an ankle bracelet. Who knows, you know? She owned you. She owned you and wore you around like a cheap fur coat. Okay, she skinned your ass and pranced around the stage wearing you, okay? To get that owned, don't come back. Don't come back. You've proved you've got savvy business sense, so you should be smart enough to come back. Joe Biden shouldn't come back either, but he's already made it. He likes to talk about how he was the poorest senator or the poorest man in Congress the whole time he was there. Well, that tells you a little something, right? That's why he hasn't got out yet. He ain't smart enough. He wasn't smart enough to make any money before he sold his book about his son, which he brought up tonight, which was morbid. Hey, great, you became a millionaire because you wrote a book about your son. That's what we want to tell the country. Why that was important, I do not know. But again, I digress. To get in there and defend redlining or try to say that redlining had nothing to do with the financial crisis, that it was all the bankers' fault and had nothing to do with redlining. Wow. TurboTax. Dude. I can't just go to TurboTax. Yeah, because that scored points with all of us that do use TurboTax. That don't have to, but at least, yeah. We don't have to, but it's easy enough to do it. And you know, thanks for telling us that you know, reminding us you're a billionaire. Ooh, again, why aren't you, you know, going up against Trump? But, oh, Jesus, Bloomberg, you're just a... And the communism thing? Fuck you. Fuck you. You got no business calling anybody on that stage a communist. You have no business casting those kind of aspersions, which they are, even though communism shouldn't be a dirty word. You got no business using those kind of Republican talking points to throw at your allies, at the people that you're supposed to be able to support if they win the nomination, the people that you're expecting to support you if you win it. Fuck you, Bloomberg. Okay? Fuck you. Get out, little man. And I'm not kidding, dude. Seriously, if you don't think they let you in there just to get you the fuck out, then you don't deserve all that money you made because you're really not that smart. So, Bloomberg, you're out. Oh, who's next? Buttigieg, man. You know, why do I get the feeling that if you weren't gay, you wouldn't be a Democrat? That if you hadn't had to face that bit of struggle and that bit of, you know, adversity, that you probably would just be a middle-of-the-road independent, more than likely to vote Republican. And I don't know that that's a bad thing, but you keep throwing around this, hey, this... I don't know, you just playing the middle thing, it just sounds like you're like, hey, they're great to this end, and they're great to this end, and if you're afraid of both of them, we're the fear spot. We're where all the scared people can meet in the middle. Is that what you're looking for, Buttigieg? All the scared people that want to meet in the middle? And you really think all the scared people are going to follow the mayor of a small town of Indiana to the promised land? I think you're miscalculating, Mr. Buttigieg, because indeed there are a lot of scared people. But a lot of them are a whole lot more scared than your Midwest, middle class, lily white ass understands. Okay? Some of them have been living in this fear not for a couple of years, not just for the Trump administration, and not just for Republican administrations, and maybe not just for a generation, you know, not for, but for generations. It's generational fear, okay? And at some point, you have to understand that fear usually is what leads to rage and lashing out and finally having enough. Fear also will lead to courage, because you're just like, I'm not taking it anymore. If I fail, I fail. I'm done fighting. You know, if I win, then I fucking win. And Buttigieg doesn't understand that, because he can't get close to that. Sure, he's a gay man. And he made a gay married man from the Midwest. And that's a rough patch. But that's not growing up in the slums of El Salvador, rough patch. That's not, you know, growing up on, you know, somewhere in some mid-sized name with a vaguely Spanish spelled but English pronounced city name somewhere between San Francisco and Los Angeles. You know, the poor neighborhoods there, poor neighborhoods where, you know, only the white people you see are cops. You know, the struggles he faced in Indiana are not the struggles that a black man in Chicago or Detroit or St. Louis or Atlanta has had to face. And so he doesn't have, and unless his parents were also gay and married, and his grandparents were also gay and married, he doesn't have that generational fear that can be passed on. That fear that it's just there because that's what was manifest all the way around you, and that was the way you acted. Okay? That fear that the next paycheck might be the last, you know? That the next, you know, the next breakdown of the car might be the end of the job. That the next time you get pulled over, you know, the last time your cousin borrowed your car, he might leave a joint in the car or something. The next time you get pulled over, you might really be fucked. You know? Or just the fact that, you know, because you get stopped because you look suspicious to an officer, you miss your bus. He hadn't done nothing wrong other than being, you know, other than white in a neighborhood that's generally white. You're just trying to make a bus transfer, man. But the officer decides he's got to talk to you. And once he starts talking to you, even though he sees your bus coming, he's going to play rules and regs and say, "Oh, I can't just let you go, man. No, I've stopped you. I've started to run you. I can't let you go. It would be unsafe if it..." Blah, 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 as your bus leaves. And now you're late for work, man. And what if it's Sunday and the buses only run every hour? You know, you just lost your job, man. You don't have no college fund to borrow off of. You don't have a trust fund to get into. You don't have a car that's bought and paid for that you could go and get a title loan against in a pinch, because you're already on the fucking bus, man. So, I'm sorry, but I mean, Buttigieg, you are an interesting arguer, though you don't say a lot. So, you probably did well on the debate teams. But, I don't know. I'm just not buying in. And again, if you know, don't get me wrong, I'm going to vote for him. Damn sure not voting for Trump, but just calling him as I see him right now, down to six. Buttigieg... Like I said, you know, I mean, if you'd stayed closeted, could you have been a log cabin Republican? I'm just curious. You're not, again, your policies don't say it, but I'm just looking at your upbringing and what you could possibly actually know. And I know you went to, you're a soldier, a veteran, thanks for your service. I was a peacetime soldier. I don't know which one of us was luckier. But I don't know. My early on rules or thinking was that I really, really didn't want If I could, you know, if I had my druthers, that we wouldn't have a white man running. I'm sick and tired of old white men, and just white men generally, old or young, to be honest. So coming out the gate, I preferred a woman or a minority candidate, be it Cory Booker or Elizabeth Warren, were two of my favorites going in. And but Bernie Sanders does get himself a little asterisk, though he is old, he is male, and he is, for all intents and purposes, white. He is Jewish. And he is the guy I supported last time. My only reason for him to not being one of my front runners this time is, again, the age thing. I honestly think the boomers need to step the fuck out of the way, too. But the nation is, you know, pretty much spoken against me in that department. It's mostly boomers running. Yeah, I know Klobuchar and Buttigieg. Klobuchar is an Xer, but, well, I'll get to her. I'm still on Buttigieg. So anyhow, like I say, I just, you know, I'm not in the mood for a moderate. And I don't think, like what I was starting to say was, Buttigieg doesn't understand that fear is beyond just, oh, lead us. No, that fear has led to action and acting out. And no, we're not just willing to settle for stopping the bleeding. We're going to improve the use of that limb. We're not going to lop it off and hope it's better. We're going to, you know, fuck you. We want bionic arms now. We don't want to just stop the fucking bleeding, cut off the arm. We want bionic fucking arms. So that's what I think he's missing, is that they're really, the whole reason Biden isn't taking off is that there really isn't a moderate wing left among the electorate. There is amongst the leadership, but the actual people that are going to move and shake and do the voting, we've shifted left. We're waiting for the Democratic Party to catch up. That's the real answer there. So, Buttigieg's too middle of the road. You know, Buttigieg, I mean, he's not as bad as Bloomberg. I'm not saying he should go be a Republican, but if they come up with a middle-of-the-road party, he could do it. He ought to jump in there. The centrist party of America. Go get him, Buttigieg. So, I don't think either of them are viable. I know Buttigieg came in, you know, technically first and second in the first two, but he's going to get his hat handed to him in Nevada. And I don't think he can do that role in South Carolina, so... Anyway, those are my thoughts on Buttigieg. Who's next? Biden. Oh, for fuck's sake, old man, go the fuck home. Go home. I've been saying it for weeks. You shouldn't have got back in. You had your turn. You chose not to. It's unfortunate that your son died and, you know, you chose not to run. But that's just the way it is. And you made that decision. And that doesn't mean you get to come back in here and daughter your way in for 1 4-year term just so you can say you got to be president. Go home, Joe. You've done plenty for this country. Thank you. Now go home. Write another book. Spend your last years rich. Yeah, sorry. I mean, you can see in the debate, too, that nobody even cared about Joe Biden. Right? Nobody even took any shots at him. Nobody. Nobody cared. Everybody was beating on Bloomberg. They tried to go at Sanders, but it was lukewarm. But then I'll explain that later. But yeah, Biden, get out. Get out. I'm just saddened that you're actually going to force the issue and stay in through Nevada and South Carolina. I really hope that if once you get your ass just whooped in Nevada, that you have a spine to show you actually care about who gets nominated and the people actually having their voice heard. I hope you care about that, Joe Biden, because if you do, you'll get out before South Carolina. So the first major minor, or the second major minority vote, can really see which of the actual viable candidates they want to choose. Because, Joe, if you siphon off 10% of the black vote, you know, 20% of the black vote in South Carolina, then we're really not going to know who they want to support. And that could be devastating to the whole campaign. So, Joe, say you've had enough. If you don't want to do it now, you want to lose one more time before you quit, okay. But damn it, as soon as the votes are tallied in Nevada, get out. Please. Get out. Let's say how much more on Biden. That's enough, I think. Klobuchar, boy, she sounded good. Everybody sure was talking her up before, in the hours leading up to the debate. But I don't know what happened, but she wasn't there tonight. And they nailed her, too. They nailed her on some prosecution things and some, and again, she's kind of got a similar, she's in a similar circumstance as Buttigieg in that, you know, she can talk a good game about having grown up middle class and this and that, and they've, you know, they save money in a coffee can and da-da-da, and that's how they paid for someone to go to college. Well, I got news for you. If you manage to save money in a coffee can, enough to send somebody to college, then life may not have been easy, but it wasn't too fucking hard. Because I guarantee, if you had to choose between losing that house or continuing to save that college money, you would not have allowed the house to be foreclosed on and carried those fucking coffee can buckets of money while you were homeless and refused to get into those coffee can buckets of money because they're the college fund and you're just going to live on the fucking street and your kids are going to eat on the street with you because you're saving that fucking money for college. That didn't happen. Ergo, the roots there didn't have near as rough an upbringing as a good 70% of this fucking country. Sorry, Amy. First world problems. Do you know people actually sell their coffee cans back for the tin? They can't afford to keep a coffee can to put money in. They got to sell it back to get the nickel back for the fucking coffee can. All right, or they're busting those coffee cans up into something to build something to use for shingles on the fucking roof, or to patch a spot in the stucco where the wind whistles through the fucking house. So, sorry, Amy, but you know, first world problems. And you sucked tonight at the debate. I don't know what happened. I don't know what you went through on the way leading up, or Buttigieg really got under your skin. I might have missed a couple questions early on in the debate, but somebody got you off. And again, you've been the last or second to last person to qualify and whatnot, you know. And I think Elizabeth made a point tonight that if there's a woman candidate that the women are going to coalesce behind because she's tough enough to do this and she's shown how tough she can be on the debate stage. It's time, Amy, for you to go home, too. Go home. You're going to do okay in Nevada, but you haven't got it. And Warren's going to be the clear choice for the ladies, so. Next time, Amy, you're done, too. Now, let's see who's left. Elizabeth Warren. Yeah. Elizabeth kicked some ass today. I'd say overall, she inflicted more damage than anybody. She inflicted more damage. I mean, she cut Bloomberg into 30 pieces all by herself. And everybody else got in some pretty good shots, too. But holy crap. Even Biden got in on Bloomberg, so that tells you how lame of a duck target he was. Even Biden could hit it. But no, Elizabeth, she had a special night with Mikey Bloomberg. Woo-hoo! And she did indeed give a preview of what she will do to anybody, any billionaire that decides to think they have to debate her. So, at this point, I guarantee Mr. Trump does not, he does not want Elizabeth Warren to be the one coming after him, because nobody's got a bullseye on fucking billionaires better than her. And Bernie's no slouch. But I think Trump's in a spot here. I mean, I think at this point he better wish for Bernie. Because Elizabeth's going to make him look really bad and beat him really bad if she's the nominee. Yeah, she had a great night. Buttigieg couldn't touch her, really. As effective as he is, she was on a roll, and he couldn't push her back. Klobuchar couldn't push anything back. In fact, you actually saw Sanders come to Klobuchar's defense. So, yeah, I think Elizabeth Warren's probably the biggest winner of the debate. But it may be one of those close wins, like Buttigieg's win over Sanders, one of those 22-21 wins, because Sanders held serve. It was Sanders' debate to lose, and he did not lose it. Therefore, he holds serve, because he's the leader, and he didn't lose. He didn't. Yeah, there's some a little bit of the Bernie Bros thing that people are throwing at him. You know what? As I was saying about that fear thing, I think Bernie knows a little more about that fear that's coming out, because the Bernie Bros, my guess, are some of those disenfranchised white folk that either A, do indeed have some historic poverty or hardships in their lives, or B, are the millennials that have every reason to fear a hell of a lot more than your boomer or even your Gen Xer, because they've got to deal with a hell of a lot more of the consequences of the damage done to this planet than those of us that maybe only have 50 years left on the planet. They got another 70 or 80. All those projections that look like the future to us, that's their fucking lifetime, man. That's not their, I'm in the nursing home and I don't even know the calamities are happening. No, this is going to be the most important times of their life. These climate change problems that are coming at these millennials are coming right at the time when they're supposed to be in charge of pretty much everything. Just like there are 70-year-olds and 80-year-olds, 70 to 80-year-olds now, minimum 60 now. So you know, there's 60 to 80 are the people ruling this entire fucking world right now. Well, when the millennials are 60 to 80, that's when all this shit that we expect to be coming down thanks to climate change and climate changes and global warming, or whatever you want to call it, that's when those things are going to start manifesting. 50 years from now, when these 20-year-old millennials are going to be 70, and these 30-year-old millennials are going to be 80. That's 50 years from now, and that's what they're seeing. So some of these Bernie Bros, and they should be, you know, you should be looking at them as Bernie Twitter users, because you know, that's where most of this is coming from, is Twitter battles and Facebook battles and derision and whatnot. But like I say, you know, there was a little hubbub about Bernie Bros. Like I say, I think everybody's got some negative people out there, and it's not like Bernie's embracing them. He's telling them, you know, he doesn't embrace it. They're not part of his movement. And they tried to get him on medical, but he's already, you know, given up everything everybody else has given. And so all that anybody's asked is that he give more than what has been traditionally given by all the presidents beforehand. So, yeah, again, I think red herring for Bernie. And again, I think this was Bernie's to lose. He was, and he held serve. He did not lose. He did very well. I just think Elizabeth, maybe it's just because Elizabeth pulled compared to where she's actually done in the last couple, the first two contests, she's underperformed where I think most people expected. And so this is her showing she's back in the fight. So it may just be she gets the nod because she gets the most improved, you know, or the, you know, I'm gonna, you know, who's gonna get the best bump? Bernie, you know, he's not gonna get a big bump, but he didn't lose a damn thing. That's all he needed to do. He held serve. So, honestly, I think Nevada is all Bernie's. The fact that the union didn't come out and endorse anybody tells you something. Tells you they fear Bernie. Also tells you they know that their argument that the, well, you know, these people don't want to lose the insurance that they've fought for and this, that, and the other thing, and rah, rah, rah. It's a red herring. Okay? I don't know anybody out there that loves their insurance. Okay? Hey, these people love their insurance. They don't want to lose it. Who the fuck loves their insurance? Unless it's all paid for 100%, no copay, no nothing. If it costs you even one penny, you don't fucking love it. Okay? And to make the argument, it's just ridiculous. So, if medical becomes something that the company no longer has to pay for, then the union takes that into their next bargaining session and says, Hey, now that wage, that raise that we gave up 5 years ago so we could keep our insurance, now we want that. And you have no reason to not give it because the government just gave you all this money back. We're not asking for a new raise. We're just asking for the one we gave up last time. That's why you have a union. And union members know that. And union members would love to be able to throw insurance out of the bargaining package. They would love the bargaining to be just about wages and profit sharing. I guarantee every union member out there, if they had free insurance, would have no problem trading their private insurance that they're getting through the union and the company that they're working for through the union for ownership. If medical was free and the company could afford to give dividends, profit sharing, a piece of the action out of what used to be their health care costs, I guarantee every union member buys into that. And that's the only argument you have to make. So this argument that, you know, oh, they love their insurance. Yeah, well, that insurance savings, it's not like you don't have the right to rub to tell your boss that he needs to share that with you. And to demand he does it. And if you have a collective bargaining group, you can do that. Now, if you've killed your union, well, then I guess your boss gets to keep the savings on the insurance and fuck you because you don't have a union. You'll have to do it on your own, and each you'll have to do it individually, one by one. And you can do that, sure. That's why you didn't want a union, right? Because you could do that stuff for yourself. Well, there you go. So, these people talking about, oh, I don't want to pay for, you know, I don't want to give up my beautiful insurance that I love. Shut the fuck up. Just the audacity of saying something like that just tells us all, that you only know people whose insurance is 100% paid for. And that's a very small percentage of the population. Most of us are paying 3 and 5 and God knows how many dollars out of pocket every month to make sure that our kids are covered just in case something happens. And you go all year and you realize nothing happens. Your kids are remarkably healthy and everything that's happened you've been able to fix, you know, at home, and nothing been that bad, and no broken bones, and, you know, just a couple of colds, and we got our flu shot for $20, and that's all we really needed this year, but I paid $500 a month for just in case. A lot of motherfuckers would like to quit paying $500 a month for just in case. Just that savings alone. They'd probably let their boss keep whatever else it was if they just didn't have to pay their goddamn monthly $500. $125 every paycheck, getting paid weekly. That kind of shit. So you people talking about loving your insurance, you don't understand common people, because nobody out here, no common people love their insurance. None of them. People on welfare don't love it. Too many restrictions. You got to go here. You got to do that. You got to do this paperwork. You don't qualify for this. You can't get that. No, you can't go see any doctor you want. Blah, blah, blah. They don't love their insurance. People at the VA, man, we don't love, you know, vets don't love their insurance. We would, you know, fuck that. Oh, my God. Are you kidding? The vets don't have to pay nothing out of pocket. We hate our fucking insurance. So, I don't know who the fuck you're talking to that loves their insurance. I would love to see a panel of people that love their insurance that would vote for Trump again just so they could keep their fucking insurance. I don't think there's anybody out there. And if they already voted for Trump, I doubt we're going to change their mind back by saying they can keep their fucking insurance. So, fuck your little red herring there, guys. Like I said, Sanders is going to win Nevada and handily. Sanders is also going to own California, and I think he's going to do a hell of a lot better in Texas than most people think. So is Elizabeth Warren, though. Elizabeth Warren, I think, might be your winner in Texas. I think she's got Oklahoma roots, and she tore into some billionaire ass. So there'll be a whole lot of ornery Texans that'll be right in her wheelhouse. Yeah, you get them, girl. We'll even forgive you for being from Oklahoma. So, watch Warren in Oklahoma. But otherwise, I think Sanders wins most. Doesn't go below 2 anywhere on Super Tuesday. South Carolina. Well, if Biden stays in, Bernie wins. The only chance, I think, for Bernie to lose in South Carolina, and it'll be close. And again, it could be one of those close 1-2s, but I think this time it'd be with Elizabeth Warren, not Joe Biden. But now if Joe Biden drops out, then I think Warren beats Sanders in South Carolina. And you couple that with Warren following up and beating him in Oklahoma, in Texas on Super Tuesday, and you could see a real, well, you know, I tell you what, that'd be a brokering that wouldn't have to be brokered, because it'd just be, you know, you just have to say, okay, well, here's your, they'd broker it by being the ticket. It'd be a Sanders-Warren ticket, and whoever had the most delegates at the end would be at the top of the ticket. But I don't think Biden's going to drop out. And I think because Biden will still be there leeching off moderate votes, Sanders is going to win South Carolina close. But I think he's going to win most of the other states. I think he's going to win all the non-Southern states handily. And he's going to make it, and he's going to have close wins or close seconds in all the southern states. So that's how I'm seeing the Democratic primaries work so far. See how things go on primary night. What is that, day or two? So we'll see how things go in Nevada, won't we? As a recap, Elizabeth Warren edges out for the win on the debate. Most improved player. Probably the biggest, she'll definitely get the biggest bump in her numbers because she's been dipping. But again, Sanders, it was his, you know, he held serve. Maybe you call it a tie because he was already the champ. He gets to keep it. So, yeah, the moderates need to get the fuck out because I think they're just tone deaf if they haven't realized that, you know, you watch, Warren's going to move back up into second, and you're going to see that the progressives, the two of them together, the progressive vote, none of the moderates can touch it. So, it's going to be a progressive ticket. I mean, I think Sanders is going to be on top of it.